What a great honor it is to be here at the Glory Dome. Let us pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege to be here to share your word. We're grateful for your mighty power that is at work. Thank you for the Glory Dome. Thank you for the pastors, the great leaders of many churches that are here. We pray, Lord, that these few moments we have together, you will move by your Spirit, touch our lives, open the windows of heaven, the doors, and bless your children, bless your servants. Lift your hands, everyone. Just thank God. Pray, Lord, to the Lord for a new seed to be dropped into your soul, into your life, into your ministry. A new seed. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Palenaka tasando paramanda pekatabala pende mainte kanoza manda shandala baba. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty Spirit that is moving in our lives. We give you praise. We give you glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone shouted, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Pastor Paul, thank you so much for this great invitation. It's a great honor for me to be here with you. We honor you. And this is my first time in the Glory Dome. And I must say, it is fantastic. I've never seen a church like this all my life and all my ministry. So I believe you are breaking barriers, doing wonders, doing what has not been done before. It's great to also have a brother in him. Bishop Oyedepo is also a father to me, and he's somebody that I really honor, look up to very much. So when Bishop Oyedepo was not able to come because he's not traveling, I thought maybe the next nearest would be to call Pastor Paul to be over, and we were so blessed with him. So we are happy for this new relationship and friendship. Amen. My wife would have really loved to be here, but she just wasn't able to be here with me. Amen. Now, how many here are pastors? All right. Can I turn off this particular fan? This one. Yeah. How many here are pastors? Beautiful. So, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 16. I want to share with you something that has to do with your work as a pastor. Amen. Matthew 16, verse 18. It says, I will build my church. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Oh, can I have a louder amen? Amen. Jesus said, I will build my church. And that is the main project that Jesus is engaged in, as far as I know. He is engaged in the project of building his church. Amen. And so all of us who are in the ministry should have this passion and this love for the house of God. Amen. And he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. And I believe that the church is what is on the Lord's heart. Psalm 132, it says, Lord, remember David, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed, and I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Amen. So here we see that David said, I will not rest until I can build the church. I can build a house for God. So pastors, we must have a great vision and a burning desire to build God's house. Amen. Can I have a better amen? Amen? And so God is going to anoint you to build his house. God is going to give you power, money, grace, gifts. He's going to give you men. He's going to give you seeds to build his house. Because that is what he is doing. Yes. And that is how come God has enabled Pastor Paul Inenche to build such a beautiful edifice for Jesus. There are many beautiful buildings in Abuja. Abuja is a beautiful city. One of the most beautiful cities I've seen in Africa. And this building complements the city and adds to the beauty of this city. Hallelujah. I don't think Abuja will be complete without this building. Amen. So, Jesus is building the church. And we as pastors, you know, when you stay in the ministry for some time, it is easy to move away from what you actually started with and what you actually believe in. You know? And so, there is a saying that the corruption of the best is the worst. That the corruption of the best is the worst. Which means that when the best gets corrupted, it's the worst. Like when good people get corrupted from their calling and from their work, you have the worst kind of people that are produced. A good example is Lucifer. He was the best. He was perfect. When he got corrupted, look at him now. Wretched, miserable, rebellious. He doesn't repent. You know, Lucifer could have repented even last year, or even this year. He could have even said, look, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. But one of the characteristics of devils and demon presence is to never change your mind and never say sorry and never turn around and never apologize. It's highly satanic. So, the corruption of the best, or let's take the Pharisees, who were the Israelite pastors of the day. When Jesus came, they were the worst. Because when you stay in religion for some time, you stay in the ministry for some time and you shift off the core reason why you are here, you change in such an incredible way that you even wonder what we are up to and why we are there. So the church must be, and as ministers, we must be careful to stay on the main thing. The main thing is still the main thing. Amen. And when you stay faithful and loyal to the main reason why you are called, then you continually have the backing of God to accomplish His will. And He will help you to do whatever He has put in your heart. No matter the difficulties, and no matter the struggles of your nation, and wherever you come from, or whoever you are listening and watching, God will help you to do His project. You know, many years ago when we started our first building, church building, today we've built over 1,000 church buildings in our ministry. But our first building, I had a contractor, and I was trying hard to build the church. Am I allowed to come down? Okay, yes. I was trying hard to build the church. You know. Now this man was my contractor. I didn't know him before, but he became the person through whom I was building. And I became very close to him. I would call him many times in a day. I was calling him. In fact, in those days, we didn't have phone numbers that you save. So you have to memorize. So I memorized his number. Up till today, it's one of the only numbers that I know. I'm talking about 25 years ago. I memorized his number. It's not around so much these days, but I know his number up till today. I call him. I was concerned about his life, his welfare, his everything, because he was my project manager on the ground. And I was building with him. And I believe that when you and I take up Jesus' project, well, I don't know any other project that he's doing. And what is his project? I will build my church. Or, you know, if you have any other thing that he's building, is he building any hospital, school, university, orphanage, business, bank, tourist company, whatever? No. Church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm not against building hospitals. We are building hospitals. We have hospitals, plural, and all these things, schools, plenty. Yes, but I just want you to know that the main work of us is to build the church. And when you are building the church, expect power to help you to build his church. Expect grace. Expect money. Expect anything that you need. Now, one of the things too that is going to happen when you decide to build his church is that, first of all, there will be an effort to take you away, to make you not build his church, to make you swerve. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, please, on the screen. It says, Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man should be found faithful. Amen. A man should be found faithful. We must be faithful and true and constant to the message of and the mission of the gospel. Amen. And we must be faithful and true to the message that we've been given to speak. I don't know anybody who is sent in the Bible who preaches his own ideas. You will be sent and you will be told what to say. You can't just say what you want to say. You must be faithful and constant to the message. You must not change it. Many years ago, you know, my main father in the ministry is Kenneth Hagin. And I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma for the conference. When I got there, Papa Hagin said, "This year, I'm going to teach you about the ABC of faith." He said, "ABC of faith." When he said ABC of faith, I said to myself, I've come all the way from Ghana. I've traveled for so long to come and listen to ABC of faith. Doesn't he have any new revelation? You know, and then the Holy Spirit rebuked me. And the Holy Spirit told me that instead of asking for a new message, I should rather admire this man who is 80 whatever years old, who has stayed faithful since I told him to preach faith. He has never stopped preaching faith. He has been faithful to the calling and obedient. And I should learn from this man, 80 whatever years old. He said, "I'm here to preach ABC." He doesn't care who is there and who thinks he knows what. Those who think they know, they don't know anything. If you know, let us see by your fruits. If you know, let us see by your fruits. And let us see by your ministry. Not by your car. Not by your car. Or your clothes or your shoes. Let's see by your fruits. We shall know them by their fruits. So, it is very important that you learn how you must be constant in God's work, in His message. And I want to say to all of us, that, you know, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." That's why you see Pastor Paul and Angel going all over the place. Because it is a calling. It's not that he's special. It's not that he is an evangelist or he has a special grace or a special anointing. He's following a simple scripture that we are all following. Because you see me preaching in different places. It's not that there's some special, my son, you shall go to the nations. I have not heard any such thing. I read in the Bible, do the work of an evangelist. And that's what I'm doing practically. That's all. Yes. So I want to encourage everybody to faithfulness and commitment to the call. Amen. And I know that When you stay on the path, you see, you know, you do well. One day I met a pastor, and I asked him, "When you were growing up, what messages did you listen to?" I asked him, "What are the topics that you listen to?" He said, "Oh, faith, discipleship, Christian character," and I mean, he mentioned a number of things. So then I asked him that, "How come now you the only thing you preach about is money? What is this topic? I don't understand that everything is about money. So that's why I asked him that when you started, what were you preaching? What were you talking about? You see, we cannot substitute brass for gold. It looks like it, but it's not the same thing. It looks nice, but it's not the same thing. So I believe that it is time, and it's very important in these last days, as the devil is becoming wilder, we must become more committed and more faithful. So everybody say faithfulness and loyalty to the message. Now, as you start to build the church, people start to fight the church and start to fight you. As you, if you decide to be faithful, you'll find out that many men and many things are going to arise to fight the call and to fight the church, to break up the church. And one of the main things is people start to manifest disloyalty and treachery. All right? And so I wrote this book, Loyalty and Disloyalty. All right? This is an important book that will help you to fight, if you can put it up on the screen, Loyalty and Disloyalty. Yeah, beautiful. Loyalty and disloyalty, because it teaches us to be faithful. Amen. And it teaches the Christians to be faithful. Because when people join churches, after a while you see that they are not faithful. They are no longer faithful. Thank you. You can take it off now just to show. Yeah. Beautiful. So, loyalty is something that is important to teach. I have a book called Why Loyalty. Why Loyalty is Important. Why Loyalty. If you can put it up on the screen. You see, there's a book called Why Loyalty. And the reason I'm showing you, introducing to you the books is because you can get the book and read it. All my books are available on darkbooks.org, I believe. If you can put it up on the screen as well. Screen people, please be faster. All right. Darkbooks.org. Anyway, let me give you, yes, you can download all my books free of charge. It's not a business. Every single one of the 100 books. If you go to this website now, you can just put your, check the QR code out, and you can go to this website. Please put the website back so that I want everybody to take note of that website. Put the website back, please. Yes. That's the website, www.darkbooks.org. Keep it on so that people can see what it is. www.darkbooks.org. All the books I'm talking about, you can download for your iPad on your screen. If it's not on, then it's a very new book. The very new books are not there. Amen. So loyalty is a very important subject. Number one, because it is a prophetic teaching. Thank you. It is a prophetic teaching. You can write it down. It is a prophetic teaching. It is predicting human behavior. Amen. Number two, loyalty is the highest kind of wisdom that was taught by King Solomon. All right? Solomon taught a lot about loyalty and faithfulness. You have people breaking away from churches. People, you see that you are part of this church, then the next moment you leave the church and take a section of the people and go and stand somewhere, just even sometimes just outside the gate of the church, to start another church, and you say the Holy Spirit has spoken to you to do that. And so number two, but that is not faithfulness. That's why many people don't have some people don't have assistants, because they are afraid of the assistant. That if the, if you put an assistant and you magnify him, he's going to take a section of the congregation, or sometimes even a whole church, and take the people with him and form a separate group, and then the church divides and becomes smaller. You know, sometimes if our churches were allowed to just grow without all these orangus, do you know what an orangu is? It's a name for a disloyal person. You find out that our churches would have been far bigger than we have today. But the churches have been divided. This person takes some, this person takes some. And you can't have people staying in a church faithfully forever or for life. There always has to be a breakaway. There always has to be, I'm right, God has called me to my own ministry when God has not even called you. So, pastors are unstable. And they don't even know what are the people saying, what is the assistant saying. You know? But you see, the loyalty teaching and these books on loyalty, they describe prophetically what people are going to do. And you know what people are going to do based on these things. And it helps to predict it and prevent it. Number two, it is the wisdom that Solomon taught. And I'm going to show you that. Number three, it is essential for raising leaders. Leaders. You need to, if you want to have more churches and branches, you need to have leaders, more leaders. And to have another leader, you need another faithful person. If the person is not faithful, you can start a church, but the person will break it off. That is why there are few churches that have branches all over the world. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2 says that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. Do you have another pulpit I could have down there? A small one? Okay, if you get one, I'll come down. I want to be nearer you. As we get into the loyalty teachings, I want to see your faces. I want to see those who are orangus, so that I can inject them with healing. Now, number three, loyalty is essential to raise leaders. Number four, loyalty is required to reset and redirect the human nature. You see, the human nature is corrupted. We are corrupted. The Bible tells us that sin in Romans 5:12, that sin has entered into the world. What was the sin of Adam and Eve? What did they do wrong? What did Adam and Eve do wrong? God put them there and said, okay, be my branch pastor on earth. And as they were branch pastors on earth, looking after animals, naming them and being in charge, one day, somebody else came and convinced them not to be faithful or to be loyal to Almighty God, who appointed them and set them up. You know, that's why people don't want to send someone, say, be in charge here. And that nature, that unfaithfulness that Adam exhibited to God, it really hurt God, because God really loved them. And that's why you see unfaithful men, you find out that they are often the most loved So I put this guy there. I did so much for him. I helped him. I bought a car for him. I officiated his wedding. I ordained him. I introduced him. I supported him. I loved him. He was nobody. He was nothing. That is Adam. Adam was nothing. He was naked. He was a zero man. He had nothing. He was naked. And God blessed him and supported him. And then when he saw Lucifer, he fell in love with Lucifer's ideas. When Lucifer told him that you don't need to be part of that system again. You don't need to be part of that system. You can be on your own. One of Satan's offers is to offer you that you don't need God, you don't need your father, you don't need to remember him, you don't need to acknowledge him, you don't need to be part of him any longer. Yes. And Adam listened to the enemy. And Adam gave up. Thank you. Adam gave up everything. And said, yes, I don't need God. So I myself will be God. You have people in church. You are not happy to be who you are. You want to be what your senior pastor is. Is it because God was the senior pastor to Adam? And Adam said, you'll be like God. You want to have his car. You want to have his church. You want to have his building. You want to be him. You want to be important like him. It's a spirit of Diotrephes. It's a spirit of Diotrephes. He wants to have the preeminence. I want to be the main man. I don't want Pastor Polynesia to be the main man. I also want to be a main man in the system. Why is he the main man? Who are you? Why are you so great? We are also all called. Do you have people like that in Nigeria? Maybe you don't have people like that in Nigeria. So maybe I should go to Sudan or I should go to another country to preach about these things. So that is the mistake. That is the mistake. That's the spirit. Now that thing has been, it is a seed in man. So all of us are like that. So if you have somebody working with you, the person is naturally disloyal. Yes, naturally. If you put somebody in charge, naturally, it occurs to the person because it is the seed of Satan. Are you okay? You want to do something? It is the seed of Satan to be disloyal and to be unfaithful to the person who put you there. I remember a pastor, he told me, this pastor was in South Africa. He told me some years ago that he had 3,000 members in his church. And then he went for a holiday with his wife and children to America. So when they went, he had a nice time. So I said, how long was the holiday? He said, 6 weeks. I said, wow, that's a long time for a holiday. Vacation. But anyway, when he came back, the assistant pastor, who was his right-hand man, when he came back, on the day that he came back, the assistant came to see him and told him that God spoke to him whilst he was away. And God says to him that he must leave the church now. So he told him that, why did God say that you should leave now on the day that I've come? He said, no, God says it's urgent. The time is short. Because the end is coming. So God says that he has to leave now. He has to leave the church now. I said, wow. I said, look, but listen, I've just come. I've been away. I've just come. So you Wait a bit. He said, no. God says I have to leave now. So he resigned there and he left. The pastor told me, he said, I had 3,000 members. He said, all the members left the church. He said, I was left with 18 people, including my wife, my children, my house help, and everything. We were 18. Left in the church. He said, in one day, everybody was gone. I was left with 18 people. You see, that's why some people don't have assistants. And some people don't, you know, I went to a church in Singapore once. Actually, some of my pastors went. The assistant, the senior pastor had traveled. The church is a big church like this. Sunday morning, video. Everybody watch video. No assistant was allowed to climb the pulpit to do anything. You watch video. Because we don't want anybody to come and stand there, do some gymnastics and say, now the anointing is here. Now that whatever has traveled, I feel the grace and the power has been released as a river. So, everybody watch video. You see, that's why people don't, that's why we cannot expand. You cannot expand to the next town, and to the next town, and to the next big city. Because anyone who goes to a city, especially if the city is big and there's money there, and there's anything important there, that's the city that they will break. The poor towns, they will stay faithful to you because they need you to send money and to send help. But the richer towns and the big towns, they are the ones that will break off. I think maybe I should go back to Ghana and continue this teaching because I don't know. Maybe it's more in Ghana than here. Amen. Are you listening to me? So the reason why that we are teaching about loyalty and disloyalty is so as to reset the human nature that is in us. Number five, loyalty is important to save innocent ones from disloyal men. To save who? I cannot hear you say innocent. 2 Samuel chapter 15 verse 10. Bible says, Absalom sent spies throughout the tribes of Israel. He sent spies throughout the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. Verse 11. And with Absalom, can I have the NASB version? With Absalom went 200 men, all right, and they went innocently. They did not know anything, all right? So many people follow innocently. Because when the pastor says, I'm doing this, I'm changing the name of the church. You know, one day we had a branch, and then the pastor said he's changed the name. So my senior assistant went there. When he went there, they had moved the name. So he asked, where is Lighthouse? He said, oh, we are having a joint service. He said, a joint service of his new church and Lighthouse. I said, wow. That was the end of that branch. The guy changed the name and took the church. Yeah. So as we are trying to build the church of God, you have people who are equally scattering and trying to fight what God is doing. Amen. And so we have many teachings to watch out for such human character. Now, many, many books that the first one is Loyalty and Disloyalty. I'm introducing you to these books. The next one is Those Who Are Dangerous Sons. Dangerous Sons. Amen. There are dangerous sons like Absalom. Please put the book on the screen. Those who are dangerous sons. What is a son? He existed because of you. You appointed him, you anointed him, you introduced him, and like Absalom, he rises up against you to try to harm you and even to kill you. So there are people, I am sure, I don't know anybody, but I'm sure there are people from Dunamis who were once here or who are here even planning. You are here planning. You are a son because, what is a son? A father is not a father because he's an old man. He's a father because he has produced something. It's not your age that makes you a father. So Pastor Paul Enenche has produced, Bishop Oyedepo has produced people. They would not exist if it was not for Bishop Oyedepo. It's not because he is an old man. It is because he has produced the people. That makes you a son. And that makes him a father. But there are sons who are dangerous. What is a dangerous son? Look at Absalom. When he was born, they held him in the house. Oh, Absalom. He was a beautiful son. But now he took up a sword. He went to attack his own father. That's a dangerous person. And you have pastors who can attack the person who ordained them, who anointed them, who prayed for them, who helped them, who taught them. That person, his name is not Oluwa this or Ade whatever or anything. His name is Absalom. That's his real name. His name in the realm of the spirit is Absalom. Give me the books. No, other books. Yeah. Ask your neighbor, are you a dangerous son? Then we have those who accuse you. Those who accuse you. The accuser of the brethren is the devil. You get it? It's the devil. The accuser is the devil. You have people come on social media. You have people come on whatever, saying all sorts of things about God's servants. So as we are trying to build the church, all that they are doing is trying to spread stories. Those who accuse you. Watch out for accusers. And we must wipe all such people away out of the church. We are here to wipe them out. We are here to wipe them out. We don't tolerate accusers in our midst. Your accusation is not advice, and you don't qualify to advise us. Ask your neighbor, are you an accuser? You are very quiet in this message. It looks like maybe the thing is affecting you. It looks like you may be one of the accusers. Do you have accusers in Nigeria? Yes. So, in this book, you will learn how to deal with them. Yeah, that is why I wrote the book. It'll help you to deal with them with authority, with strength, and put them in their place and not tolerate them. Some of them, they act as though they are very mature. They are the wise ones. They are speaking like some big wise words. And like they know certain things. And that is why they are accusing. Then we have those who leave you. those who leave you. You see, somebody asked her, how are you able to have churches in more than 100 countries? Those who leave you. Hey, your thing has changed the color. You have to be faithful to the colors, eh? We gave you green, you have changed it to red. Aha! Hey! You see now? When you teach it, they will be faithful. Those who leave you, there are people who leave the church. They say, oh, I'm just leaving the church. Oh, I'm just starting my own something. Also, oh, God has told me to do whatever. You have to be careful. You see, when the prodigal son left, he took away half of his father's wealth. Many of these orangus, they affect the church financially. You see that by the time you finish dealing with this guy, it has affected your finances of your church. And these type of people, it's as if there are people who don't say anything. But when you read this book and you find out that they are saying something by their actions. They are saying something. In fact, they are leaving you. It's a loud announcement. It's a very loud and painful announcement. It's like, there is something very wrong here. That is why I've had to leave. I wouldn't have left if there was not a good reason. That's why if a man's wife leaves him, it is a very big announcement. You don't even have to know the troubles in the marriage, but you know that there's something really wrong somewhere for this woman to leave or for them to part. So watch out for those who leave. They look very pious. Their face looks very holy. I have nothing to say. You have nothing to say. Your actions are speaking louder than your words. You say you have nothing to say. You have no comment to make. You have no comment to make. You've made a comment. When the boy was leaving his father's house, can you imagine everybody talking in town? Why has the guy left? What is happening? Why has he traveled? He's left his father. I hear the father is a tyrant. The father doesn't understand anything. The father is an old man. It's difficult to stay there. He's a difficult man. He's a hard man. Things are not easy in the house, so he's had to leave. All these are the unspoken messages of those who leave you. You have to learn how to deal with them and teach people to be faithful. You see, there are people sitting here who are planning to leave. Tell your neighbor, God knows about you. In fact, I sense that there are people sitting here. That's why I wrote this book. Those of you who are planning to leave, let me tell you, if God has not called you to leave, and you leave, you will end up as an obscure nobody. Your end is darkness. Your end is uselessness. What happened to the prodigal son when he left his place? When he left his place and he left where God had ordained for him to stay, what happened to him? He became poor. He became useless. He became less than you can imagine a human being should be. Many orangus, you see them struggling for the rest of their lives. Orangus. Yeah. It's a new word. You can learn it. Oh, yes. Then we have those who are ignorant. You see, when you see Pastor Paul and Angel standing here and doing this, they say, oh, I can also do this. I can do this. Oh, it's nothing. He's just lucky because he had some few people to help him. Many people are ignorant. When God calls you, you don't know what is involved. When you see somebody preaching, somebody doing the work, you think you can also do it. Because you are ignorant. And you don't know many things. You don't know what is involved. That is why people who have achieved a lot respect when they see, when you see, you don't need to know the person. You just respect the person. Because you know what, there must be so many things before you see somebody 50 years old and he has been preaching. And he's still preaching. Yes. But the Bible says in Timothy, it says, not a novice. Not a novice, lest he should be lifted up with pride and fall into the condemnation of the devil. You see, pride is the condemnation of the devil. If you want to fall into the condemnation of the devil, or the condemnation that the devil fell into, it is through pride. And then we have those who are proud. Especially if you've been in the church for some time. Some of you have been around for 5 years. Some of you have been around for 10 years. And you feel, I've been around for 5 years. I've been around for 10 years. I know something. I know this and I know that. You don't know anything. One day I was dealing with an orangu. The guy was very proud a certain way. So I dealt with him. I think I dismissed him. And one of my assistant pastors, he was looking at me. And he said in his heart, Bishop is dealing too harshly with this man. Yes, too harsh. So I pray, God, give him an orangu so that he will know how to handle orangus. So God gave him one. Yes. And I tell you, one day he had a dream and he saw himself fighting with the guy, and he uncovered the guy's face and said, what? My assistant? You're the one. You are the one. You are the one. He was shocked. Then he came to see me later. He said, Daddy, you were too calm with this guy. You were too calm. You were too gentle. You see, when you experience something, then you realize, no, there's a lot that I don't know. So pride, very, very important. Then we have those who forget. Those who forget. You forgot whose message you listened to. That's why I agree with the man of God here. Because he has not forgotten Bishop Oyedepo, whose message he listened to. He's got a bigger church here, this and that, whatever, in this city and all that. But so what? And so Jesus said, "You, the works that I do, you will do greater." Does it mean you are greater than Jesus? Does it mean you are greater than Jesus because you do a great work? No. The fact that you have achieved something your father did not achieve does not make you greater than your father. You have to remember, you have to remember where you came from and how you came to be where you are. You cannot take your father outside and beat him. Can you imagine taking your biological father outside and caning him? Because you are not bigger than him and stronger than him. And there are people here in Nigeria who are, you take fathers out into the public and whip them and insult them, chastise them and degrade them, denigrate them and dishonor them. Ah, Kamosala Baba. God will find you. God will find you and deal with you. Those who forget. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. The Bible says, God is not unrighteous. It is not that he is not unrighteous to forget. Which means that forgetting is a form of unrighteousness. Forgetting is a form of unrighteousness. You must not forget it. Give me some more books. Offer the books, I have more. Those who pretend. You see them sitting on the front row. They are planning so many things. They'll be planning. So when I do that, I'll do this. This is the hall that I'm going to rent. And this is going to be the name of my church. Will not be called Dunamis. It will be called Dynamic. Instead of Dunamis, I'll call it Dynamic Church. I call my church Dynamic Church, and I'm going to see this person after church. I'm going to get this person to finance me. I'm going to let this person, this one will be my worship leader. This sister and this sister, they will definitely follow me. You are sitting there as the church service is going on, and you are planning with the new name. If Dynamic doesn't work, then I'll try Dynamo. Hey! Hallelujah. So Jesus said, I will build my church, and all these people will try to prevent. And then those who are slanderous, people who slander, defame, insult, lower, to make people in the public have a bad mind about the person who God has honored to be his servant. Those who are slanderous. And those who rebel. Those who rebel. Beautiful. Have you got those who rebel? Those who say we need change now. Freedom. Freedom from this man. We are tired of this ministry. Those who rebel. Change now. We bow to none. It's enough. We will not kowtow to this man again. We have been in this church for too long. It's time for change. Dunamis must change. Hey. Watch out. That's a spirit of rebellion. It's a spirit of defiance. I defy the great authorities that are there. I don't think you have such things in Nigeria, because and those who make shipwreck of their faith, Hymenaeus and Alexander, and those who are mad, yes, the Bible says, and they were filled with madness. They were filled with madness. Like you've actually gone crazy. You think you can destroy, you think you can do certain things, and you see that there's a certain mental illness where somebody loves you very much, then afterwards he hates you very much. It's called black and white thinking. And so you have people who say, I really love Pastor, I really love Bishop Oedipo, I really love Bishop Paul Oyentje, I love this, I love this. Then one day, you see the person is the complete opposite. I hate him, I don't want to hear his name, don't mention his name. When you mention his name, I start shaking, I get fever, I get rashes. Hey! Those who are mad. And then we have those who are wolves. Those who are wolves. Now we have wolves. The Bible says they will enter and spare not the flock. So today, I believe that all these books, they are all books. There are books that will change your life and your ministry. and stabilize and drive away the evil human nature that has become established since Adam's sin. Now, before we end, I want to read the scriptures that I believe are important. Let's look at Proverbs 20. These are what I call the loyalty scriptures. I want you to see. Proverbs 20 verse 28. Look at it. In ERV, I need it ERV version. ERV or Amplify, but let's do ERV. Loyalty and mercy. Truth and faithfulness. I'm giving you scriptures. Protect the king, and he upholds his throne by loving kindness. Loyalty and mercy and truth will protect the pastor. Listen, pastors, if you teach loyalty and understand it, and teach your members, loyalty and truth will preserve your ministry. Look at it. It protects the king. It protects the king. It protects the king. So loyalty, it protects the ministry. It protects the ministry. Number two, scripture, if you read it in the NASB, it says, loyalty and truth watch over the king or protects the king. The next verse is Proverbs 21:21. One who pursues righteousness and loyalty, if you pursue righteousness and loyalty, NASB, you find life and righteousness and honor. You find what? Life. Your ministry will have life. Your ministry will have life. It will go on. If you don't have disloyalty, if you don't have loyalty, your ministry will end. The light in the ministry finishes because you don't have faithful people to carry on. I thank God for the faithful people that I have here, even in Nigeria. For years. Yes. Many. Faithful. Your ministry doesn't have life. It's finished. Proverbs 21:21. He who finds life, he who pursues. So you must pursue righteousness, pursue loyalty. Some people say, oh, it's not necessary. It's necessary. Otherwise, you see, your ministry will finish. Now, Proverbs 20, verse 6, the next one. It says, many a person proclaim, NASB, please, NASB. Many a person proclaim his own loyalty. But who can find a trustworthy person? People say they are loyal, but who can really find one? A faithful man, who can find? So it means that a faithful person is not a common person anymore because of the sin in the hearts of men. So that is why we have to teach it, to stabilize the churches, so that you don't build your church when you get to a point, then they come and break it. You build to a point, then they break it. You put a brand, then they take it. You start up to a point, then you have a traitor. No. This is a new day. This is the last days. And God is releasing a seed. That is a seed of loyalty that is going to stabilize your ministry. Hosea chapter 6, verse 4. Hosea chapter 6, verse 4. NASB again. It says, what shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? For your loyalty is like a morning cloud. It means that your loyalty comes for a short time. You are just loyal for a short time. And like the dew which goes away early. God is looking for people who are faithful and loyal for a long time. Not like the morning cloud. You see that the cloud is there, and then by afternoon, around 12, and it's gone. No. God is looking for people who are faithful and loyal long before the time is up. Amen. So, make sure you become. Then it says in verse 6, for I delight in loyalty. Notice it. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice. I delight in it. So all these things that we are teaching, God says in his word, I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice. And in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. I delight in the loyalty and the faithfulness of my people. For I desire loyalty rather than sacrifice. Hallelujah. Psalm 78, we are ending. But they put God to the test and rebelled against the Most High. They did not keep his statutes. Like their ancestors, they were disloyal and faithless, as unreliable as a faulty bow. Psalm 78, verse 56 and 57, NIV. They put God to the test. Amen. Psalm 70, and all right, and they rebelled. They were disloyal and faithless. Verse 57. They were disloyal and faithless. All through the Bible, you see God calling for people to be faithful. And I'm here to call all of you who are in Dunamis. You see, that the ministry can be big. It doesn't mean that it has faithful people. It doesn't mean that it has faithful people. It doesn't mean that people will be faithful because it is big. Or because you are anointed. You can be very anointed, but you have people that are really, really disloyal. I've seen some of the biggest ministries. You see that there's a big anointing. Like, why would somebody disrespect or dishonor a great person like this? But you'll be surprised. Satan, one of Satan's characteristics is that he has no respect. He's rude. He has no respect at all. No respect. You'll be surprised what somebody can say. I remember when Benny Hinn was in Orlando, people used to come to church on Sunday with banners. I hate you. I hate you. Go away from our city. We don't want you. Openly. So God is teaching us loyalty. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it looks like he knew you were coming, so he decided to preach this message. He knew that you would be here, so he has prepared this message for you. Wow. In Judges 8, verse 35, the Bible says, they failed to show loyalty to the family of Gideon, NIV. They failed to show loyalty. When Gideon ministered and finished serving them, they killed his children, 70 of them. No loyalty, they didn't show loyalty to him. And that is why many people, when even the founder is dead or the senior pastor, people are not faithful to the family. That's why the families would also try to secure themselves, because people would not be faithful. Titus chapter 1, Amplified, verse 15. It says, to the pure in heart, all things are pure, but to the defiled and corrupt and unbelieving, nothing is pure. They profess to know God and recognize. All right? And to the disobedient and disloyal, verse 16, disobedient and disloyal and rebellious, they are unfit and worthless for any good work. They are disloyal and unfit for any good work. Lift up your hands. Say, Lord, give me a spirit of faithfulness and loyalty. Amen. Look at Proverbs 21:21. I want to leave you with this scripture. 21:21. It says, he who earnestly seeks, ERV, he who earnestly seeks righteousness and loyalty finds life and righteousness and honor. Amen. May you seek righteous loyalty for your ministry. And may your ministry find Life. May your ministry have more years. May your ministry have more time. More years of fruitfulness. More life. Through the spirit of faithfulness and loyalty. And may you not end up as a slanderer. As a Judas. Ah, Kamasota Baramandora Baba. I have another book called Who is Judas? I don't think they gave it to me. Yeah. Judas, who is he? Yes. May you not end up as a Judas. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. This is another book. Who is Judas? Who is the Judas of Dunamis? Mercy. Everybody, type and or write, who is the Judas of my ministry, of my church? Because Jesus had a Judas. Or maybe you are the Judas, so you are not writing who is Judas. Lift your hands as the Lord. Father, thank you for your servants. Lift your hands wherever you are. Pray in a moment. We are closing this session, but I want you to just pray for the spirit of faithfulness, loyalty. Pray for the grace to be a faithful man. And turn away from all these things. Those who are dangerous sons. I don't want to be part of those who rebel. I don't want to be part of those who are slanderous. I don't want to be part of those who forget, those who are proud, those who are unfaithful, those who are ignorant, those who leave you. But I want a good spirit of faithfulness. Father, thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. If you are here and you want to be free of a spirit of unfaithfulness, how many of you here sense that you have been involved somehow in some of these things? Raise your hand. I want to know who I'm dealing with. Raise your hand. Now you want to say, Lord, I want to be cured of all forms of unfaithfulness. Then lift your hand and let me just pray with you. Lift up your hands. Father, thank you for a good spirit. A good spirit. We give you thanks. We give you praise. Thank you for giving us a spirit of faithfulness and loyalty. If you want me to pray for you, just come to the front. I'll just quickly pray for you. Because we are closing in 1 minute, but I want to just pray. If you want me to pray with you, come to the front right away. And let me just pray with you. Father, thank you. Pastors, receive the grace to be faithful. Come. Father, thank you for all those that are here. Thank you for giving us a good spirit of faithfulness, taking away wickedness, taking away from our lives wretchedness, evil spirits. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Listen, I'm asking anybody, keep coming quickly, please. If you know that in your heart, because many of us, if we will be honest with ourselves, many of these things, like I said, is human nature. And you want to say, Lord, let all these kind of things go away from my life. I want to be a faithful person. I don't want to be found in disloyalty. And if you are here and you want to expand your ministry, you want your ministry to expand, you need to teach leaders faithful. Also, lift your hands. I'm just praying. Lift also your hands. Lord, I want to know how to imbibe and to transmit a loyal and faithful spirit in those who are under me. Teach me, Lord. so that my ministry can expand and grow and grow and grow and grow. Father, thank you for your power. Thank you for your grace. We give you thanks and we give you praise. Thank you for everyone who is here and everyone who has lifted their hands. Thank you for a new day. I pray for everyone in front here. Touch our lives. Lord, we are repenting. Now everybody, let's repent of disloyalty, wretchedness, wickedness, Judas, those who are dangerous sons. Let us repent of it right away. And let us pray, Lord, give us a good spirit. Give us a good spirit. Father, we thank you for healing of this wickedness in the name of Jesus. And then now, everyone lift your hand in the congregation. Father, thank you for building newer and greater churches, Lord, like this one. And grant us expansion into every area, in every field. Give us faithful missionaries, faithful people we can send to big cities, and people we can send anywhere, people that will not disappoint and betray, people that will have a good spirit and a good heart. Take away treachery, Lord, treachery, sudden turning around. Take away sudden change, Lord. Katarama zomatandalaba. Sudden change into something horrible. Thank you for your mighty power. Thank you for your glory. Thank you in Jesus. Open your mouth and thank God right now, everyone. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go back to your seats.
Go ahead and give the Lord a praise.
Thank you.
Can we all be upon our feet? I believe that after a preaching like this, we'll force it through a little bit, maybe in 3-5 minutes. I reject the spirit of Absalom. I reject the spirit of Judas. I reject the spirit of betrayal. Would you do that? I need somebody on the microphone. Lift your hands after me and say, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you. For your visitation. Today, I refuse to be an Absalom. I refuse to be a Judas. I reject the spirit of betrayal, the spirit of Judas. I resist now in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and use the next. Pray in the spirit. I refuse. I refuse. I refuse. I refuse. I refuse. I refuse. Father, I reject the spirit of Absalom. I reject the spirit of Judah. I reject the spirit of betrayal. Lift up your voice and pray. Echo Panaya to Coparada. Shadagalabada. Epacatabarada. Echo Coparada Namana Colobadi. Shadagalabada. Elacataparada Yatagalabado. Mequate de Peto Coparada Yato. Lacaparan de Coco Palataya. Shadagalabada. Eparatatana Palacolopeda. Sato Copeta Calabarada, Maquante de Perroto Copanada, Pareto Copanadaya, and Sadagada Barada. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, moreover, It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Father, the grace to be faithful. The grace to be faithful to my assignment. The grace to be faithful to the calling of God on my life. The grace to be faithful to where God has placed me. I receive that grace today. Lift up your voice. Make demands on the grace to be faithful. Makote paradakalabada. Shadalabaradakalabada. Likoparadakalabada. Entrekete patakalabada. Shadalabada. Makote paradakalabada. Entrekete patakalabada. Praise to be faithful to my assignment, to my calling. Praise to be faithful to my location, to my placement in life, in ministry. Shaparata to pay. Shaparata la parada. Makwate kete peta kalabada. Rakata bada yada kalabada. Rakata bada kalabada. Rakata bada kalabada. Rakata bada kalabada. In the name of Jesus, amen. We have prayed.